Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name, Lord. Lord, we just praise you and glorify you for allowing us access into this kingdom of yours, Lord. We thank you for your son who went to the cross for us, did all the things he did for us, Father. That was an awesome feat of love that he gave for all of us. And I thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross. I praise you, Father, every day for that, because it gave us an avenue to the Lord God Almighty. We can go right up to his throne and speak to him and talk to him. You've given us that path to do. And we praise you. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the promises that you've given us in your word that gives us power and authority over all. It doesn't say some, it says all of the enemy. Thank you for that, Lord. Lord, thank you for putting it in our hearts to not to go from to the left or to the right of that path that you've gotten us on. Keep us on that narrow path, Lord. And if we hiccup on one side, Lord, we thank you for your forgiveness and your mercy and your grace upon us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. We thank you for the things that are coming up. The great and wonderful harvest. You said the fields are white for the harvest. And I thank you, Lord, that you've got people that are going to harvest this harvest, this great white harvest, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for placing it in our hearts to get ready for this time ahead. Make us, help us to get ready, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do tonight. Thank you, Lord, that our prayers are always answered because we have great and bold faith. Every one of us and all of us together, Lord, is a mighty fortress for you. And I thank you for all you're going to do tonight. I thank you, Lord, for lifting David up and giving him strength, supernatural strength and energy, Lord, in his body. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for putting wisdom and discernment in him and all of us. We all need more wisdom and more discernment, Lord. And I ask that in the name of your son, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, anybody got a prayer request or would like to pray or a testimony? Yeah, Julie.
I'd like to pray too. Father, I thank you, Lord, for all your goodness towards us. You've been so good to us, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done in your mercy and your grace and making the way for the man child to go forth, Lord, in these days soon, Lord, with the anointing and in your mercy, God, in your grace. We didn't have like a lot of this destruction and the things that could have been, a lot of things that could have been haven't been because of your mercy. And we've been able to pray so many things down and praying things in, Lord. And I thank you that you are preparing us and you are giving us grace and wisdom and you are maturing your saints and you're maturing the brethren for our brothers, Lord, to be the leadership that you called them to be, that to lead the bride and to lead the church these days ahead, giving them the experience and the knowledge and the understanding and their word. Your word is in their hearts and they're like a river flowing, Lord, and with light and with the rivers of living water flowing from there. That anointing is coming, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for preparing our hearts to receive all that you have for us, God, that we not miss anything, and that we are your vessels in whom you choose to use, however you choose to use us. And we don't put restrictions on you for that, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for choosing us. God, we didn't deserve it. And we didn't earn it in any way, but we wouldn't be here together as a body, Lord, if you didn't bring us together. And I thank you for all my brothers and sisters in Christ, whom that you ordained to be together in this fellowship. Pray blessings on all of them, Lord. I pray blessings on David and Michael and all that they do for the body and be an example to us, Lord, and that you increase them and that you would anoint them, Lord, and raise up the men to be with them and to do the work that they're doing. And they're fivefold ministers, Lord. And I praise you and thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, for bringing down the deep state. I thank you, Lord, for thwarting all of the plans of the enemy that we've been praying down and doing things that we can't even fathom you're doing. I thank you, Lord, for giving us the grace and the authority over the demonic or the kingdom of darkness and utilizing the angels and teaching us how to do all these things. And you're just beginning to really show us what we're able to do through faith. And I thank you, Lord, for making us all ready, God, to do more. You said we would do more, greater works than these shall you do because I go to the Father. And we don't fully apprehend what that's going to be, but we've only begun to be utilized in that, Father, and we thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your great goodness towards us again and again, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Go ahead, man.
Hey, everybody.
Hi, bud.
The Lord's been kind of putting me in a direction, and I thought I'd share something from Absolute Surrender. I've been kind of down in the dumps lately. Just, we all get there sometimes. It's about God keeping you. And Andrew wrote, or yeah, Andrew wrote, "Another thought, this keeping is not only all-inclusive and omnipotent, but also continuous and unbroken. People sometimes say, for a week or a month, God has kept me very wonderfully. I've lived in the light of his countenance, and I cannot say what joy I have not had in fellowship with him. He has blessed me in my work for others. He has given me souls. And at times I felt as if I were carried heavenward on eagle's wings, but it did not continue. It was too good. It could not last. And some say it was necessary that I should fall to keep me humble. And others say, I know it was my fault, but somehow you cannot always live up in the heights. Oh, beloved, why is it? Can there be any reason why the keeping of God should not be continuous and unbroken? Just think. All life is an unbroken continuity. If my life were stopped for half an hour, I would be dead and my life gone. Life is a continuous thing, and the life of God is the life of his church, and the life of God is his almighty power working in us. And God comes to us as the Almighty One, and without any condition, he offers to be my keeper. He and his keeping means that day by day, moment by moment, God is going to keep us. If I were to ask you the question, do you think God is able to keep you one day from actual transgression? You would answer, I not only know he is able to do it, but I think he has done it. There have been days in which he has kept my heart in his holy presence, when though I have always had a sinful nature within me, he has kept me from conscious actual transgression. Now, if he can do that for an hour or a day, why not for 2 days? Oh, let us make God's omnipotence as revealed in his word and measure of our expectations. Has God not said in his word, I, the Lord, do keep it and will water it every moment in Isaiah 27? What can that mean? Does every moment mean every moment? Did God promise of the vineyard or red wine that every moment? He would water it so that the heat of the sun and the scorching wind might never dry it, might never dry it up. Yes, in South Africa, they sometimes make a graft, and above it, they tie a bottle of water so that now and then there shall be a drop to saturate what they have put about it. And so the moisture is kept there and unceasingly until the graft has had time to stroke and resist the heat of the sun. Will our God in his tender-hearted love toward us not keep us every moment when he has promised to do so? Oh, if we once got hold of that thought, our whole spiritual life is to be God's doing. It is God that worketh in us to will and to do of his good pleasure, in Philippians chapter 2. When once we get faith to expect that from God, God will do all for us. The keeping is to be continuous. Every morning, God will meet you as you wake. It is not a question. If I forgot to wake in the morning with the thought of him, what will come of it? If you trust your waking to God, God will meet you in the morning as you wake with his divine sunshine and love. And he will give you the consciousness and through the day that through the day you will have God, you will have got God to take charge of you continuously with his almighty power. And God will meet you the next day and every day. And never mind if in the practice of fellowship there comes failure sometimes. If you maintain your position and say, Lord, I'm going to expect thee to do thy utmost, and I'm going to trust thee day by day to keep me absolutely, your faith will grow stronger and stronger, and you will know the keeping power of God in unbrokenness. And so, I think that kind of connects with our hunger as well. He promises to keep us and he grows us. So we expect it. And so it's just like, oh, there's more food to eat. Don't know. That's my mentality of it. Yeah, he's been kind of. So I just want to bring that into prayer as well. Well, Lord Father God, we thank you for keeping us. Lord, sometimes we can just, be a little distracted. Sometimes we can fall away a little. Sometimes we're at work and we don't think about you a lot. But we know that you keep us and you keep us driven towards you, Father. You know what's in our hearts because you put it there. And we thank you for it. Lord, Father, God, we just pray that you make us tenfold for you. You help us to forget the things of the world and just draw nigh unto you. Lord Father God, we want this and we want this for you, not just for our own selfish matters, but we want it for the glory of your church and the glory of you, Father. We thank you for it. Keep our minds on others and on what you have for us, Father. We thank you. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Father. All right. Anyone else? Y'all want to hear a good song? Jesus loves me, this I know. Oh, wait a minute. I better get the professional zone. Okay. Here we go.
Michael, you were doing good.
Thank you, Joe.
Every night there by your bed, you fold your hands and bow your head, throwing out another prayer in faith. When you're wondering if he's hearing you, look at me, I'm living proof. I'm only right where I am today because somebody prayed. So I hit my knees 'cause I've seen all heaven. why when mountains move, I say, looks like somebody prayed. For the child of God is far from home, the one who thinks they're too far gone. I'm throwing out another prayer in day. Worn out altars, tear stained pews, still I won't give up on you. I believe that anything can change when somebody prays. So I hit my knees, cause I see no heaven move.
My God, pick you up when you come.
I pray, Father, please, cause I somebody prayed. I've seen miracles come from feeble words. I've seen hospital rooms turned into cathedrals. I've seen freedom come to the prisoner. You can't tell me that prayer don't work. So every night there by your bed, fold your hands and bow your head. Not a single word you've ever said in vain, cause he hears everything. So I hit my knees, cause I've seen all heaven move.
My God, pick you up when you're coming.
I pray, Father, please, cause I looks like somebody prayed.
You're muted, Michael.
I said what I said was that that is one of the most moving songs that I've heard in a long time. If you'll just watch the words and what he says, it's awesome. It's awesome. And I understand, I saw on the YouTube here earlier that he's been getting letters and texts and all kinds of things from people that have heard that and had miracles done because of their prayers. And this, it's awesome. Some little old song like that right there that Crowder put out could affect people's prayer life. And it you watch what I tell you. He's going to see an overflow of this stuff. Because people love to hear about what God can and will do rather than what God won't do. And Crowder's good at that. Woo, glory to God. I don't know I think that was Julie, but I don't know, remember who got that song to me. Was it Missy? Okay. That was a good song. I've listened to that thing. We played it last night. Praise God. Okay. Anybody got anything else they'd like to pray? I want to pray. It just inspired me to pray. Crowder did. Lord, I just lift up John Schaffner to you again, Lord. I break the power of Satan off of my good friend John, lifelong friend, since we were little boys. And Father, I thank you that you're going to bring him into the kingdom in spite of himself. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, for doing whatever it takes to bring John in and Wendy, his wife, and his daughter, Hallie. And I praise you for it, Father, for bringing that whole family in. And I thank you, Lord, that John will be the first one in his family to come to you, Father. And I praise you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. John Schaffner, you're coming into the kingdom, black it or not, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. All right. Anybody else got a prayer or something they'd like? Okay, Missy, go ahead.
Well, I want to share a little thing in prayer, whatever. last week, or the week before that, or whatever, I don't know. I was out walking, and one of the neighbors drove up. I met her last summer. Her name is Sarah. She's Catholic, although she doesn't go to church anymore, but she believes, you know, and she believes in God. But anyway, she came up to me and asked me if I could cut her hair sometime, and I didn't really like say any much of anything, you know. I don't know. I just didn't like really give her an answer. I was kind of like surprised because my mind was not there at all or whatever. But anyway. So I felt like the Lord was saying, somebody asked, you know, give, you know. So, you know, I went and I cut her hair on Saturday. And she asked me if I'd like to cut anybody else's hair. And I said, no, not really. I'm not putting myself out there, basically, is the gist of it. Because you know, I got plenty to do and stuff. So then we had exchanged numbers to try and connect about cutting her hair. But anyway, so she called me Monday and wanted to know if I could come over and help her out with stuff. She has a bad knee and she's 80 now. And it surprised me, but it didn't surprise me because I just had this sense about her or whatever. Anyway, and I'm like, and like for a couple hours a day or whatever, and I said, well, what were you thinking? Like, you know, she says Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, like a couple hours, and I'm like, well, let me think about it, pray about it, or whatever. And, you know, she had mentioned about, you know, getting groceries for her, you know, and wheels started turning. And I thought, well, there's a lot of grocery stores you can order online and have them actually deliver it for you. But I was praying about, and I felt like the Lord said, you know, give her one day for a couple hours, you know. I was like, there's no way I can do it for you. You know, anyway, so but what came to me was Tuesday was the best day for me, and so I called her up and I said to her, I said, well, I said Monday, Wednesday, and Friday doesn't work for me. And she kind of laughed or whatever. She says, you really don't got to do it if you know you don't want to. And I'm like thinking, yeah, I know I don't got to, but so anyway, I asked her about the ordering groceries from this one store and have them pick it up, because she said for her to even go and pick them up and take them up her steps from the garage is hard for her. And I had mentioned to her, you know, God's a savior of he doesn't just forgive and take away your sins, he takes away the curse too, you know. She had mentioned to me on Saturday that she had like she thought it was figured it was carpal tunnel because her fingers were getting numb and stuff. And I said, I had that and the Lord healed me. I said, I got people, you know, said people pray with me and I believe for that. Actually, I'm not actually even absolutely sure that I got somebody to agree with me. I just believe for it. And then one day the Lord got my attention about it, that I wasn't having my hands numb anymore. Anyway, and so I asked her, I said, well, on Tuesday or Thursday, and she said, "Well, Tuesday be good." And I'm like, "Yes, thank you, Lord." To me, that was like, a confirmation, the fact that she picked Tuesday. I said, "Well, Tuesday is the best day for me." But anyway, so I said, "Well, I'll show you how to do that online." She said her daughter, one daughter, was going to help her figure out how to do that. I said, "That way you're not reliant on somebody. Like, you're not relying on me to go and get you groceries when you need them. You can," I said, "you have to order at least $35 and you have to pay $10 fee for them to deliver it." I said, "But that way you can do it whenever you want. Anyway, so I'm gonna go Tuesday between 1 and 3 and help her with whatever she needs help with, and help her to figure out how to order groceries online. And and I felt like the Lord, because I was like, I asked the Lord for a random verse, just to confirm to me, give me something that I know is, a confirmation to me that you want me to do this. I wanted to know. And I got this where it was the very beginning of First Kings, I believe it was 17:1, about saying about, I forget if it was Elisha or Eli. It was Elisha. No, it was Elijah. It was Elijah. And the Tishbite, that he was a sojourner, and I landed on sojourner, and to me that was, and I went and read, and the next thing it was saying about the widow. Well, she's a widow. And when I just like read on, and then I felt like the Lord was saying just temporary, because Elijah was just with her temporary, and he, the Lord did a miracle of multiplying the oil and the flour and stuff like that. And so I'm like, okay, so Lord, that I'm not doing this. She said she'd pay me, and I told her she didn't have to pay me or whatever. I mean, that's just but Lord, I'm going into this with the purpose of preaching the gospel to her, ministering to her. That's the most important thing, Lord. And I just thank you for giving me the wisdom and your words to say, and softening her heart, and opening her up to hearing, give her eyes to see and ears to hear, and a softened heart, that she received the truth of the gospel. And I bind up all religious spirits of Catholicism and all the doctrines of demons and all that stuff, Lord, and help her to receive whatever it is you give to me to speak to her, Lord, and most of all that she would repent and believe in you, Lord. And I just praise you and I thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. I've never been involved with Catholics. There, in Arkansas, there's not just a whole lot of them. What do they believe in, that the Lord is can save them? Does anybody
They
have
don't
any experience?
believe in born again. Like, I had an experience the other day or whatever. I gave somebody a tract, God's vaccine tract or whatever. And I asked if they were a born again Christian. They said, "I'm Catholic." You get that so much from them. "I'm Catholic." They don't consider themselves a Christian. They consider themselves Catholic. That's what I usually, that's usually what I my thought, and they have this mentality, "I was born a Catholic and I'm always going to be a Catholic," because I was married to one that had that mindset. That was one of the first things, when first time we went out, one of the first times, or maybe the first time, "I'm a Catholic and I'm always going to be a Catholic. I was born a Catholic," and I'm like, anyway, but I wasn't really saved then, although I was brought up in church and everything. But anyway, so they're They're works oriented, of
One,
course.
two, three, four. Okay.
So.
All right. I've got a little testimony today. I was out walking, and I came. I was almost through, and I came across this lady, young lady, sitting next to the lake on a log, reading her Bible. She's probably 30 at the most. And I walked by. She wasn't probably 8 or 10 feet away from me. I said, "What you got there? You reading the Word of God?" And she looked up and grinned at me. And she said, "Yes, I am." I said, "Praise God. This is awesome to see a young lady out here reading the Word of God." And I left her and I went around. I got to thinking, I think the Lord placed it in my heart. He said, "When you go out, there's only one car up in the parking lot. It was hers." And I had to walk back to the truck. And I walked back to the truck. And I believe the Lord told me, He said, "Give her a Sovereign God book." So I rode in it to the lady from the lake. I said, "This book has really brought a lot of knowledge, biblical knowledge, to thousands of people." And I said, I would pray that you would read it and get as much out of it as everybody else has, that it would help your walk." And then I just signed it Michael. Of course, you don't know Michael from Adam's Allfather, which is good. So anyway, that's what I did. And I'd like to bless that book. Lord, I'll bless that book. When she opens that book, it's going to be a revelation of knowledge that she never knew was possible, that the Bible would open up to her in a new and astounding way, that revelation after revelation after revelation would come to her because of that book. And I praise you for it, Father, that she would not only read it, but she would want to get a bunch more and give it to all of her friends, ever what they are, in Jesus' name. And I went out there and I noticed she was from Blount County, which is, I forget, I think that's Maryville. Anyway, thank you, Lord, for blessing that girl, ever what her name is and everywhere she goes, that she would come to the great and wonderful knowledge of the truth of the gospel in Jesus' name. That someday she might be right here on the outreach. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else got something? Yes, sir, Andrew.
Well, the other day I was out for a walk too, and I usually do my course. You got a course when you walk, and you go for your either course A, course B, whatever. So I got a few courses that I go on, and I just went on my shorter course that day and came to the stoplight just down the road. And there's this guy walking up towards me and dressed in a tank top, and he's an older gentleman because he's got white hair. So we start talking when we cross the street when the light turns green, and I just mentioned, there's lots of bad stuff going on in the world and stuff, and turned out he was a Christian, and he came from British Columbia, so he was on the Pacific Coast there, and he started talking to me about all the different churches he went to, and I went, "Oh, wow, that's nice." And we just discussed the Lord as we went through them all, and he went into the dollar store, and I went home, and as we went into the mall, the air-conditioned part, he asked me if I believed in the rapture. And I said, "Yeah, I believe in the rapture, but I believe in the post-tribulation rapture. A lot of people believe in the pre-tribulation rapture." And then I quoted some verses to him. from Revelation 13, I just said, they're going to blaspheme God. They're going to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle. And you know where the tabernacle is. And because he's of that age where I sort of thought, like he knows what the tabernacle is. And if he was questioning the tribulation, he thanked me for it and he went into his store and I came home and his name is Michael. So, I said, well, I thought that was a nice name. Reminds me of another Michael anyway. And quite a few Michaels in the Bible too, and there's a good angel there too, and I prayed for him the other day, and I pray that Michael would pursue the word. I told him I read chapters 5, 6, and 7 actually in Matthew, Sermon on the Mount that day, so that actually I went from 1 to 7 and just trying to get back in order, starting over at Matthew, going through again. This time I'm going to try to remember to do it on my online computer. And so that was but I usually wake up and do my Bible study and prayer time and I go, well, Lord, I'm going out for my walk again. You know how it is, Lord. I keep hoping that I'm going to meet someone, and the Lord knows what's on your mind. He really does. That said, I had a call the other day from my daughter because she has to move out, and she's so close by here, because she rents a house and. She's crying because she's so close to me and so close to all these comforts that are around here, and this is a real nice bungalow they're renting, and so she was crying that because I'm within walking distance of her place. Ben is like 10 minutes away by car, and her mom's right across the street, so she's got to move out of there. And they it seems that they have everything so nice, so that was troubling me. So I think it was troubling me just as much as her, because you as a daddy you tend to cry for your daughter no matter how old they are and how efficient they are. She's telling me how much stuff she needs, like a dad that has not the power to answer all these things, So, she knows what I believe and who I believe in. And I told her to calm down and say, how many other times have you moved? I know this time it's going to be with your little baby and stuff. And so, they're taking their break today because nobody's working today in Canada. And, because it's Canada Day. So, I went over to see them today and spent a couple hours there. We didn't talk much about the things I would like to talk about because I'm still a little leery of bringing him up, even though bringing the Lord up with her. But she knows, and that it's just I prayed that the Lord would have this settled for her and everything would go good for her. And Zachary, and of course little Finn, because it tears at a grandpa's heart still, even for a little boy. It's kind of cute because whenever she puts him down, immediately his hands go like this, like he's praying or something. I even called her in and I said, "Have you been teaching him to pray? He's only like 4 months old, And it's just so cool." And I was going. He does it again, As soon as I got there, his hands went together like this, And so, yeah. So, but that's all. I just would like you to agree with me that But they find a new place and everything go well. She needs a daycare center. But I just want the Lord to lead her in whatever. I just want the Lord to save her too. And remind Zachary of his salvation too. And for things to go well. So Father God, I pray that you would take care of a lot of stuff here for my daughter, son-in-law, and my little grandson. That you would take care of all that needs to be taken care of for their new place to live in. For you provide for all people. And I believe you would provide for my daughter just because it's a soft spot in my heart for her, Lord. And you care for me and you care for everything. You are sovereign, God. And I pray that all these things that are don't look so good work out for the good. And that you would give her love, Lord, so that she can love you. Same with Zachary and same with Finn. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that for her. Where is she moving out of town?
Well, she's just got to find a new, she has to find a new place to live because the guy who owns the house, he moved to America and he needs some money, so they want to sell the house. And he told them what the price was, and well, she doesn't have $750,000, and that's the price of a bungalow here in Canada, so that wasn't
Really?
an option, but. Yeah, 750,000, I think, is what they want for a average house here, and we're not the most expensive city either. So you should see what it's like in British Columbia, because that's where the best weather is, and in Toronto too. Anyway, yeah, so they're gonna try and rent another house because when you're in a house for a few years. You tend to collect a lot of stuff because you got a whole basement there, and a two bedroom, and a nice sunroom, and garage, and garden. So they have till October 1st, I think. Either that or the guy has to win $1 million over there in America. I don't know if he wants to do, if God will do that. But it's an income place for him. That's what people do. They buy a house for income and then they sell it when they need their income. Which takes away from the people who actually want the house for. They won't have a problem selling it because it's right near a hospital and some doctor and young couple might buy it and stuff. So it's just, was listening to Sovereign God, the first chapter. How God makes turns around things, makes bad things happen good. How he does that with his people, and how he looks after us. He looks after us for everything. Praise and glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for providing for her. And not only that, Lord, that she'll find somewhere that's close. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that soon that they won't have to worry about anything. It'll all be taken care of by you, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. I see today in some of the news that we looked at, doing away with taxes here and going to be giving a lot of money to everybody that have been paying into Social Security. And it's not a small amount of money. It's a very large amount of money that people are going to get. And it's going to, you can't give some people a lot of money Have you ever read about people who won the Reader's Digest thing where they won $200 million and within 2 years they had it all spent? You know, that's some people are like that. They just can't stop. And the lotto, yeah. Somebody had their hand up. That you, Julie? Okay.
Yeah, I was going to pray for, just kind of add on to your prayer that you prayed for Megan and Zach. Father, I thank you that you see the day that they moved in there and they got married and all the things that have transpired, and you see their lives. You see the day of them coming to you and surrendering their lives to you, Lord. And I pray you give Andrew peace about that and Ben too. And I thank you. You already see the home that they're going to be moving into. And that they will look at this as an opportunity to find something they really, really like. And it doesn't have to be far away from where they are, because you can do anything. You're our Father and you love us. And I know that you hear your children's prayers, and that you've already answered this because you see the house that they're moving into. I thank you, Lord, for giving them the opportunity, Lord, that they have until October to move out, and as that gives them some time, but still a lot of work. And I pray that you would give them all the grace to be able to even start going through their things now, knowing they're moving, and deciding, what they can purge, because it's always a good time to get rid of things you don't need anymore after accumulating things in one. You've been living in one place for a long time, you have a tendency to accumulate stuff. And so I thank you, Lord, for helping them to downsize and opening up that opportunity and leading them by your spirit and showing them in the neighborhood there. They can just start, just kind of branching out in the different directions and see what's available for them. And it'll be in their price range, Lord, and have all the amenities and everything that they need. And we thank you in advance, Lord, because you've already done it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. All right, Missy, go ahead.
I just wanted to comment on what you were saying about all this money that people are going to be getting. I was thinking about that, and I'm not saying thus saith the Lord, but I think the Lord showed me that. When all these judgments come in the tribulation and like the earthquakes, we know they're not going to be as bad, but volcanoes going off and flooding. And I mean, we're already having flooding a lot in different places, but I believe the infrastructure is going to be really messed up. And things like that, and it's going to be hard for people to get food. It's going to be hard for people. It's just gonna, what good is money going to do for you if you have no means of spending it, essentially? You know what I'm saying? If things get so bad that, and what came to my mind was, about, I think it's Ezekiel, oh geez, where is that? Seven. Ezekiel 7, it says about throwing their money in the streets, this gold and silver, which I think just basically means money. Because it's, and I think the Lord's gonna just absolutely turn that around, for his elect in particular, because we know that's what he's after, big end time harvest. And I just think that all these things that are going to be happening is going to make it hard. And even if you have money, what good is it if you can't spend it, if your needs are not even out there to be had,
There's going to be needs that are going to have to be taken care of all over this world.
Right.
It's going to be,
Bio.
and it's going to be what you're going to see mostly is the true Christians doing the work that you're talking about right there.
Right.
They're going to say, this is not my money. I'm just a steward of this money.
Right.
And if I'm a steward, I have to help these people.
Right. That, and plus it's gonna cause people, they're gonna be in these, caught in the middle of these judgments, and they're gonna, find out that the government gave them all this money, and the government's not their savior because they're in a situation where they can't even spend it. It's that bad, and they'll cry out. The Lord will get their attention. So
That's
just
where the
pray
true Christians come in with the faith knowledge that we have.
for it. Exactly.
Yeah, you'll see the miracles and the signs and the wonders and the people getting fed from heaven. You know, like David had talked about in Real Good News, you know. Either fill my plate, Lord, or fill my tummy. You know.
Amen.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, and the fishes and the loaves that the Lord did. That'll be awesome. You got any fish in your refrigerator? Yeah, I got one little perch. Bring it out here.
I just ate it. I just ate my last piece of codfish today.
Oh, God. Lord, multiply it in their stomach. Okay. Yeah, Missy, it's going to be an awesome time for God's people to show his love during all of this destruction. Did y'all see where Jimmy Swaggart died here a few hours ago? Do you two guys from Canada know who Jimmy Swaggart was? Okay. He was an evangelist, a very good evangelist when he first started out. First years, years and years. I always liked him, always liked him. He's a good singer too. But he was 90 years old and died in the hospital. Went on to be with the Lord. A lot of people liked him. He's from Faraday, Louisiana. He was a cousin of Jerry Lee Lewis and Mickey Gilley. And I saw him and Jerry Lee singing a song. Jerry Lee looked terrible. Singing a song, just, I don't know. But Jerry looked like he was 108. And this is probably a couple of years ago that they sang this song. But he was singing. He came to the Lord. Jerry came to the Lord. Ben, do you know who Jerry Lee Lewis is?
I've heard his name before.
Yeah, he was a world-renowned rock and roll star back in the 60s and 70s and 80s. Yeah, piano player and singer. Got a whole lot of shaking going But anyway, he came to the Lord finally. He and Swaggart used to play together when they were kids. They're both about the same age. Swaggart looked a whole lot better than he did because he didn't tear up his body like Lewis did. I've seen Jerry Lee in performance before. He's a nutcase, or was. All right. What else do you want to talk about tonight? We've got another hour and 5 minutes. I had a question. Does anybody else have something they'd like to talk about before I ask anything?
Yeah, can I say something, Michael?
Yes, you can, Joe. Go ahead.
Well, just interesting. It's not something to discuss, but just interesting. I was reading earlier about Lazarus and Jesus rising from the dead, but then later on, I read about this. It's only Lazarus. There's two of them in the Bible. One, Jesus raised from the dead, and one was in Abraham's bosom. But Abraham's bosom was an interesting one when they said, "Now the poor man died and was carried away by angels to Abraham's bosom." But when you talk about the rich man, he just says he died and was buried. Does this say both of them was just by died and buried? Other one was to Abraham's bosom, and other one was just buried. It's just an interesting way of looking at it.
What was the question? Julie, help me here. Or somebody, one somebody.
Joe, did you have a question, or are you just making an observation about the two different men named Lazarus and
Yeah.
the one was resurrected, and the other one who was the poor beggar, he went to Abraham's bosom, but you're just making an observation?
That's right. Yeah, I just make up. That's the interesting fact about rich man and the Lazarus. But the interesting fact is when Jesus said when both of them died, we talk about the rich man. He said he was died and buried, but when a poor man, he says he was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. It's just an interesting thing to it. He doesn't say both of them just died and get buried. He says one is to Abraham's bosom, and one was buried. It's just interesting for me.
You know what I thought about that too, though, is that the ones that are to me is, you know, they're known by name to the Lord, and like Lazarus was known by name, and he wasn't anybody to the rich man, but when the rich man died, he was just buried. He wasn't even a name, you know. So it's like he's not even known to the Lord, but you know, our names are known. We're known to the Lord, and they in. So that's how I saw that too. Was, you know, the rich man wasn't written in the book of Lamb's Book of Life. He doesn't know him.
Yeah. What a question I have, well, not question, just somebody I have a comment on, but when a rich man, when he's in torment now, and when he sees Lazarus and far up over the, I'm not sure what he called it,
Comforted.
yeah, when he sees him far up, he only saw, in other words, he was at Abraham's bosom. He was at the rich man's gate begging for food, so he asked him to go in. It's just an interesting way to look at it. He asked him to go and tell his brothers or bring water to his tongue. So just interesting that. Thank you.
Can I just say think something that's come to my mind is God allowed him to see Abraham, somebody that he knew his father Abraham, and he recognized and knew who Lazarus was, and that God was, you know, this rich man was, God allowed him to see and recognize that, and here he is suffering. I think that's part of a lot of people's torments is like when they were alive, that they're going to be tormented with their, you know, things from their past and what they could have done and they didn't do, and just, you know, feeling all kinds of regret, and here they are, you know, they're in torments, and this man was, you know, he lived lavishly and ate lavishly every day and scrumptiously, whatever, you know, he didn't lack for anything. And when we see, you know, and other people, you know, he saw the poor, he was right outside his gate, and he didn't do anything for them. And now he's in torments, and Lazarus is, you know, in the comfort of, you know, he's got everything. I just think it's, you know, it's just like a big contrast, and I just think that that's how a lot of people, when they die, who are not going to heaven, that's some of the things that they're going to be tormented with is memories of what they could have done. You know, I don't know. I don't know.
Thank you, Michael.
Well, You're welcome. Thank you, Lord. I've thought about that too, is the difference in the rich man and Lazarus, and how that people down in hell are going to remember every avenue that they had open to them to come to the Lord and didn't do it. And that's why, we have to pray for ourselves too, that the Lord would hold us onto that narrow road and keep us in the Word so that nothing else would clutter our mind. That's what he's been dealing with me here lately is your mind is a minefield, or can be, if you allow things to come into your mind that you shouldn't and dwell on them. That's a distraction. Not only is it a distraction, it hurts your walk. And the Lord told me just a couple of days ago that a lot of times Christians get in a bad situation because they let their mind wander off of him, and that we should keep our minds upon Jesus all the time. And that was, I knew that, but for him to tell me that just kind of set it in stone, so to speak. Anybody else have anything like that happen? That you know that you're supposed to keep your mind on Jesus. Go ahead, Julie.
I've gotten even something that even happened today. I missed a text message. Actually, I missed it. My phone didn't ring. Someone was calling me and I didn't hear it ring, and it went to voicemail and I didn't hear it go to voicemail. At least I don't think I did, but I was being distracted by something on the internet. And I think the Lord was just giving me a real life, correction. Just like, if you hadn't been listening there, if you hadn't been doing that, you would have heard your phone ring. Except I never heard it ring. It never rang. And I was sitting, the phone was right there. I think it was a spiritual thing, like we're saying, you're missing out. You should have been available to take that call, but you were distracted. So anyhow, that was what was coming to me when you said that, because God does want us focused on him.
That's an easy thing to say. And the way I'd like to find out how anybody does this, I'll tell you how I do it. If you've ever read New Creation Realities by E.W. Kenyon, you'll understand what I'm talking about. He puts it in his mind that Jesus lives in me. And if Jesus lives in me, I am to keep my eyes on him in me and walk the way that I know that he would want me to walk. And that's like him. And so we study how Jesus walked so that we could be an impersonator of Jesus. And when we do that, not only will you be an impersonator, you'll actually walk in his steps at some point in time down the road. That's what I believe. And if I do that, I'm fine. It's when I get distracted that things split up, But he's the Lord has been impressing upon myself to not be distracted anymore, that everything is focused on him. Because if you get distracted out there when there's destruction going on around you, people's lives are hurt because you've been distracted, because you couldn't hear the voice of the Lord tell you, go over here, go over there, do this, do that. When in fact, he wants us to be listening for him. How many prophecies, how many words from the Lord have we had here locally? I can tell you there's been a bunch of them that tells us to draw near to him and listen for his voice all the time. I had been, I'll tell you what happened to me. I was fasting here the last few days. And this morning, I was fixing, I always fix David's breakfast. He can't cook boiled eggs. So I have to, he knows it. He can fix a salad. That's about it. That's just throwing lettuce and tomatoes together. But anyway, I was fixing his breakfast and I heard the Lord audibly tell me, he said, oh, you can go ahead too, Michael. You can stop the fast and go ahead and eat. So I said, all right, let's do it. And so that's what I mean by listening to the Lord and staying focused on the Lord. Is you can hear him a lot clearer when you do that. I can tell you this, when I get distracted on YouTube or what all of those social media things, it just rips my spirit. It brings it way down. My spirit, man. Do y'all have that same experience with, yeah. Me too. I did. So I've tried my best to keep away from the news.
Feel it.
Huh?
I feel it. I feel like I feel it
Yeah.
when I've been distracted and looking at stuff that is not feeding my spirit, man. It's just feeding my flesh. It's some kind of entertainment or curiosity. What's going on? And I do.
Yeah.
I feel. I don't feel the closeness I was, you know.
Feel empty.
Yeah, there's something missing. I feel like
Yeah.
I didn't get and I what was that? It was like eating something that didn't fill me up, you know?
Yeah.
You're still hungry.
Well, even when you get through with it, after you get through looking at it, said, oh gosh, why did I spend an hour and a half watching that garbage? You know? Go ahead, Ben.
Yeah, like the other day I was reading. And I read for like 3 hours and I got a really good word in, had all these really nice verses, and I connected one of my studies with another study, and I was super encouraged. And then I got up to go to the bathroom or do something. And then I sat down on my phone for an hour or two after, and I'm like, wait, what was that again? I forgot the word, I forgot what I read, and then that's the stuff that we got to confess, and that I think the
Yeah.
Lord will bring it back anytime now. Yeah, and so it's just, it feels like you're in like a dry, like you know
Vacuum.
what I yeah, yeah, like it feels like a vacuum just went shh.
Yeah.
Your flesh man was too strong. Yeah, your flesh man got too strong, and well, Jesus doesn't want to be around him, so
Yeah.
anyways.
Yeah, Julie.
But we're to reckon ourselves dead to sin, alive unto God, and
Yeah.
delivered from
Amen.
all that. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Confess it. Praise God. That's a wonderful verse. 1 John 1:9. What a beautiful verse.
Yep. Amen. Anybody else? Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
You know, being retired now, I have lots of time. And there are still times where I get distracted. You have to be careful with that, because I think everywhere you go, you go to work, when you used to go to work, you knew the people that weren't saved, and you knew the people that you were trying to reach. I had my foreman, because he used to see me in the back corner over there reading my Bible on coffee break, and he used to tell me, like, once a week, 52 times a year, for sure. It's just another book, Andrew, written by a man. And I used to say, no, it's not. It's God's word, because you have to go to the foreman for him to okay stuff, So I had to make that that statement, I would say, at least 52 times a year. And it kind of programs you. And when you're in a good study and you got good praise and everything, you're in that place, you're in that zone. But that's still all going into you, All the studying and all those words, it went into you. It doesn't come back void. It has to stay in there, because he's God and he's sovereign. And he said he would remind us what he taught us. So when you go out for a walk, or if you just go to the grocery store, I've had this happen to me. I would look around and I go, how many of these people know their salvation? How many of these, could I talk to these people right now? Could I bring some of them to the Lord? Would the Lord do that with me right now? And of course, sometimes you try and it ends up in a big mess, because it doesn't happen right. But then the Lord sets up something, like the other day when I met Michael, just walking down the street talking to this person who had a strong, I believe, a pretty strong encounter with the Lord. And he's got some knowledge in him. And I go, and think about that. I go, look, what is the Lord doing right now? What is he doing with the people around me? I know for sure that it's different in the States. Because, you tend to envision the other man's grass is always greener. But, I think there are geographical regions that have different types of curses in them. And different levels of Christian, too. Because, we've discussed some of those Christians in the Middle East there, that they're being martyred, some of them, for their faith, But here, it's kind of nonchalant. People say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian because I put up a Christmas tree in December. And that, there's a lot of Christians like that, you have to take the Lord with you everywhere you go. And even though you may be blocked, you tend to think of some of the people in the scriptures, like in 3 John, the Dio guy there, and Dio Trafis, I think his name is. And then there's Demetrius, and he's a good guy. And then there's Gaius. And then is this guy throwing Gaius out of the church? Is he throwing Demetrius out of the church? Is he throwing the Apostle John out of the church because he wants a position of leadership? Anyways, and then there's the other people. There's a person in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 who needs help. And then there's Alexander and Hananias. These people knew their salvation. And they had a problem with blasphemy. And then you read the account of Philemon on Onesimus returning, a returned slave to his master who's a Christian. And he's returning a Christian because he met up with the Apostle Paul, So you get all these accounts of things, and then you go, well, where do I fit in? How do I fit in? You know, you get the first chapter of Philippians, you know, you got some people preaching the gospel out of envy and strife, and the other ones that are preaching the gospel for goodwill. So, you know, you really have to look at that, because he does praise that the gospel is at least being preached. But you tend to think that back then, you know, that they didn't have the problems we have now. But I think they really did. You know, like they had the people who were, I think they used to say that they preached the gospel out of faction. And so, you know, when you read Philippians, you know, you get these other people, you know, and the Lord has to have the unity. There can't be those words that are different spirits. So you know, if you go to the news, which is not really good news a lot, but it's an actual event that's happening, and you know, they don't give you the full details in the news. I remember when I used to have cable vision watching the news around Easter time, and they said they found Jesus's coffin, you know, and they said, look, his name's written right here. It's engraved in stone, Jesus, and it's in Greek. And how many people did they fool, you know? And the bones are still in the coffin when we open the cover still, you know? And it's right around Easter time, and I'm going, okay, this is a joke. Get to the punchline now. Tell them the truth now. But they never came out with the truth. So the media does leave out things, or they just lie to you. And I think it was right after, right before that, you know, I read that caption. I think it's in Corinthians about where some people were saying there was no, that the resurrection has already passed, you know, and I'm going, what are these people teaching us, you know? What are they bringing across to the Canadians? I can't remember what news station it was, but it's what they did. And you know, I realized that there's an agenda of the dark side there, that these people might have no way of fighting that, because this is what the boss wants. And you know, it makes you kind of wonder about people who do that, you know. Are they being forced to do it because that's what their boss wants and they want to hang on to their cushy, well-paying job? And they're reporting, the reporters come out with trying to make the news, you know, and instead of telling us what the news is. And that's a classic example of when they did that with Jesus. How many people did they wreck? How many people who were not saved did they wreck? How many people who were had a ancestry of some sort of Christianity to having none now? So I'm not saying you go and watch these things, but you know, you if you watch a safe movie, you know, you tend to say, well, what's on this author's mind? What's on the director's mind? Because we know and what's on the script writer? Because, you know, they changed the book, you know, from the original fake novel or entertainment to something else. But what's in this entertainment, you know? And when the entertainment starts looking like the same as the news, then you got, you know, like I see the people throwing big rocks through the windshield of police cars in America. And I go, is this Hollywood or is this the news, you know? And it's the news. So, and you can't blame the actors and actresses and the producers and the authors, you know, that they're just writing about things that people want to read, but there is a basis there, you know, I'm sure people wouldn't toss out the Pilgrim's Progress the same way as some other writings would. But, you know, if for instance, I used to watch this Stargate SG-1 series, and they used to actually have a snake that used to go inside the person's body and take over, and they were evil too, you know. Richard Dean Anderson was in that, and he called them snakeheads, you know. And where do they get these ideas, you know, that this person is now possessed by a serpent, you know? And, you know, so they're not that far off, you know? And they used to call them ghouls, and it was like present time sci-fi, you know? And might explain a lot of things for some of the past presidents, yeah, and the past prime ministers we had. But I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying that there is these tendencies of these people still trying to stick to a narrative of the guy in the cowboy in the white hat and in the red and black hat, you know? And so I'm not comparing it to scripture, but being involved and around scripture and having the Bible spoken to you for hundreds of years, you know, you tend to think on good and evil. And plus, good and evil's been in the society and in the world for a long time. You get people talking about good and evil in every country. Over there in India, over there in Japan, you know, they all have their narrative about it. But, you know, God made a covenant through Noah. And he told you in that covenant who was the guy going to do it. And he made a covenant with Abraham. And he made him fall asleep, and he walked that covenant. And he made a covenant with Jesus. And he said, who is sovereign and who's in charge? Who's going to put that law in your head, like it says in Hebrews chapter 8? And who's going to put it in your heart? So the way a child might understand good and evil from what he sees and what he watches, how does he know, except that God has to deal with all of mankind with good and evil, because that's the fruit that the ancient ancestor ate, yes, Adam and Eve, but we have a new fruit of the Spirit through Jesus Christ now. We have a new lineage, a new heritage, a new family tree. You know, I remember going to school and they asked for the family tree. You made a family tree. But how many kids put Jesus in it? So, you know, because the family tree is those 77 to Jesus in Luke chapter 3, and the 78th is who? Peter? Only Peter the apostle? Or is it one body here? Do we not have a brother in Peter and Paul? So when we're called, we're called. And God knows about all this stuff that's going on in the world. He knows about all this movies and stuff. You know, there's some Christians in the movies, you know. They're at least called. And how God's going to work all this out, I don't know. But I do know that there is the news that's looking like the movies. And they even speculate on what's going to happen in the future now. So I just wanted to throw that out, that are you truly asleep, or is God sovereign over those times where you wander so that you can learn something from it? But also, when you wander, what do you see? What are you looking at? What are you seeing there that's making you wander? So he's, I believe, trying to train us not to be distracted by these things, so that you could speak up like Paul spoke up for the guy in chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians. Or how would you be able to even discern the good and the evil, and how would we depend upon God to give us what we need when we need it the most? Anyway, I'm just speaking off the cuff here. You know, there are those times when the apostle says, I speak as a man, you know. He's giving you an example from the wrong side, you know. He's telling you, he's giving an example in the scriptures as though he wasn't saved, you know. Like, there are places where he does that, you know. But now it's in the scriptures. Right? Like when he says, I'm speaking to you after a man and not after the Lord, you know, and he gives you an example. So, but it's scripture now. So it's more evident when it's scripture, but these examples that they show, you know, and these examples that they show of saved Christians who are wrong. So, you know, Judas went wrong, and he's likened to a corporate body of people now. So, and if Jesus, it is the corporate body. He's referred to as the corporate body. Even it says one body, one spirit. So I'm not saying that y'all go out and get involved in worldly things, but we know when we waste our time. We're dawned on it. And we come back. We repent. But even with that, the Lord can show you something. And he does. Now, how else can we find out also what's going on in the world unless we find out? You know, they had news bulletins in the Bible, in the Gospels. You know, a tower fell on some people there, and Herod was mixing the blood of these Galileans with their sacrifice. So, you know, that was front page news back then, and it's in the Bible. You know, so what's front page news now? That's in the life of people, but not in the life of a Christian or a covenant person, you know. What was front page news back in King Nebuchadnezzar's day? And he even got to write it now in the book of Daniel, because it turned out good. It turned out for the good. You know, people are not ashamed of things. It's high time that they should know, that all the people should know, because all the people have that original fruit in them. And that's why when you approach someone who's in a religion, he knows what's wrong, and he'll judge everyone in this country if he's not a Christian, because he believes this country's a Christian nation, but he's not going to a church. He's going to a mosque or a synagogue or an Eastern temple. And he's going to make up some decisions there until he talks to a real Christian and finds out what's going on. And maybe God can use that for drawing him into his salvation. How do these people come to the Lord unless the Lord's drawing them? The Lord has to draw them. And definitely the Lord has to, I'm sure everyone knows that the Israelites learned the law, and they had to be changed for grace. So when a person's a badass, he should know he's a badass, and it should convict him. It should bring him to the Lord. Should it not? Should not the fear of the Lord be more active? Should we not be praying that people get more fear of the Lord from what they see and what they spend all their time with? Were we not once there? So I'm just throwing out ideas here. I'm not saying that I know everything, but God does, and He's still sovereign. And I have my own reckless times too with YouTube and stuff, but well, there's some real good stuff on YouTube too, you know. Well, a lot of people been working on putting some of this stuff on YouTube, you know. So praise and glory to God for the good stuff. Amen.
Yeah, good stuff on there, but if it's a distraction away from the Lord, I don't know. I know what happened. When I do it, I can tell you that I get distracted on YouTube. Because I see something down the road there. Oh, what is that about? And the next thing you know, you're an hour and a half going into garbage. Just news, you know. So what I've been doing the last few days is just staying off of it. And then I have David comes up here and said, well, did you see the news about that? No, I didn't see it. Well, go over there and look at it. I don't want to.
I'm talking about the UBM stuff, okay?
I know what. Oh, boy.
And there's some nice music there, too, you know, nice praise and worship music.
Yeah. Go ahead, Judy. I'll wait till you get through.
There's those things that I know we're supposed to pray about. And when we see them and hear about them, then we are supposed to pray them down and share it to pray things about the Lord. But I don't want to get distracted. And like you said, an hour later goes by and I'm like, oh my gosh, I just spent all that time looking at that stuff. Because there's always other things that have nothing to do with what I need to be doing, but it's still an interest I might have and or whatever. But I do look at things and I do see things that I know we're supposed to pray about. So I just need to do that and get off and not linger there. And that's a safer place to be, because there are things that God's using us to pray down and share. For instance, did you see what I sent you about the weather anomaly going on down in the Gulf?
Yeah.
And it's like, that's just, you know, more weather manipulation.
We prayed that down. Yeah.
So there's just stuff going on that they're still trying to do. And
let me
ask, it's a warfare every day. It's a warfare every day about stuff. So
it is. It is. It great. How did Jesus do it?
He didn't have YouTube and he didn't have the internet. And, you know, he didn't have a lot of things. He walked everywhere, you know. So, I mean, there's just a lot of things in our day and age that are distractions. Not that I'm making excuses, but he was disciplined, and that's what we all need. I pray for that too.
The disciples were distracted. They were in that day. So what was the difference between Jesus and John? Or Peter, or any of those 12 disciples. Yeah, Jenny.
Well, one of the things that's just come to my mind is, when Jesus was talking with Mary and Martha. Martha, Martha, you are distracted. You know, you're anxious, not distracted, but you're anxious about many other things. You know, many things, but one thing is needful. You know, there's all kinds of things that can take our attention. So even day-to-day activities, but, you know, it's just.
Can I tell you what I think it is?
Of course. That Barbara and Joe have something too.
I think Mary, his mama, prayed for him every day. I think that she told him what happened, that he was this or that or whatever, whatever it was. I think she gave him an inclination as to what was going to happen And hear me out. I look at people and how they raise their children. Some raise their children in the Lord completely. They teach their children how to pray and what to pray and all of this stuff. And they grow up to be great men and women of God. I think that's a key. I see families here that have children and they're teaching their little children about Jesus and about the Lord. And I think that's a lot of it. I don't think that Jesus was born and knew exactly what was going to happen and all of that right off the get-go. I don't believe it. He said that the word says that he was like unto man. He knew he had to learn everything. I think it's a heritage thing. I think it's something that you teach your children. We should teach our children. I wished I could do it over again because it would be a completely different ball game what we're looking at right now. Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
Interesting at this, but Andrew was talking earlier as well about that, talking about the snake ape before I was cut off. But interesting is about Jesus is he says he's always in his father's business. He was always praying to father. In other words, his mind was, I think, was most of the time, well, on his father. In other words, he was in a relationship with his father that just has been what Jesus tried to taught us, or taught us, is he take your thoughts captive, every thought captive. In other words, your mindset on Jesus, your distractions will be less and less. Well, let me explain a little bit about myself. As my enemy is really trying every which way he can about my thoughts and things, so I have to. What I learned the last couple of days is my spiritual warfare, my confessing, everything must be loud. That's what I learned for myself. So keep your minds on the Lord. And it's not always difficult and always distracting. Of course, I'm like Andrew, I'm a pensioner. I'm not going out very much. In other words, I'm really most of the times in the Word, so my mind try to be stay on the Lord Jesus. And like Jesus said, keep your mind on the Father, keep your mind on the Word. Thank you.
Yeah, that's real easy to say unless you live in an area with nothing going on but news, and you're it's it'd be nice to do that, be isolated and be able to do what you're talking about. But a lot of people have other things that they have to do, and they get acclimated to the world. Just like me, I didn't come to the Lord till I was 50 years old. I mean, I had a lifetime of nothing but distraction, And then to come and be disciplined enough to understand the gospel, it's a little bit different. But what I'm saying now is, the way to, and for me, the way to do it is to realize that Jesus lives in me and he knows and he's the one working in me. I'm not the one doing it. I'm just following his lead. I have to follow his lead. And by following his lead, I'll stay on that narrow road. If I don't follow his lead, I'll veer off to the left or I'll veer off to the right. Be on a rabbit trail. Then I have to turn around, repent, and get back on the road. And I think, well, I don't think, I know. I'm just going to say it. I believe that we need to understand that we're and Jesus are fused together. And once you realize that you and Jesus are fused together, you can walk the walk that He wants you to walk, us to walk. Well, how do I do that? Well, learn what Jesus did. Learn how He walked. Did she? Okay. Barbara, did you have your hand up a while ago? Did you want to say something?
Yeah, I was just thinking, with Jesus, he didn't really, I mean, he might have had distractions around him, but the thing that came to my mind was he always, he had to go be alone with the Father. I mean, he had to go, he wanted to, he needed to be, he wanted to be alone with the Father. That's I'm sure that's where he got his strength, sustenance, to keep going. I mean, having being around all the disciples and all the needy people around and everybody's pressing on him and, to me, that would be his distractions, I would think. And of course he met their needs, but I'm sure, he had to go away to get that strength from the Father. And I don't know. He just had to have that connection with the Father. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah,
He was.
he had the discipline to tell him, so I got to go. I got to
Yep,
go up on
I was just thinking that. Lord, help
the
us to be disciplined. Yeah, exactly. We need that. We need to be disciplined. Yeah, amen.
Okay. Amen. Thank
Okay.
you for that. All right, Julie.
That was good, Barbara. Yeah, I think you're right. And I think after the days he had were ministry and teaching that, he went to be alone with the Father. And a lot of times he was there all night, it says that, but, he needed to be refilled. He needed to get, he just emptied himself all day onto everybody else. He needed to spend that time with the Father because he knew his flesh was weak and he needed that strengthening and refreshing and reviving and spending time with the Father to be, for lack of a better way of even saying, it's like, more of an anointing. I need more of the Spirit. I need more of anointing. And he was always in fellowship with his Father. So yeah, you're right, Barbara. That's a good just way of saying it. He was just had distractions of the multitudes daily and teaching them, the disciples, and I think that's what we have to look forward to in the days ahead.
Yeah, absolutely.
Our
Listen, don't we
partner.
have to be like that lady that wanted her daughter to be delivered? You remember what she, man, I mean, the Lord told her, called her a dog, did everything else, but she turned that calling the dog into an intercession. Yeah, but Lord, the dogs eat the crumbs off your table. Now, come on. Get my daughter delivered. She wasn't giving up. She was not doing anything but going after the Lord. She had one thing on her mind, and that was the Lord. Same way with this just came, same way with that lady that had the doctors had taken all of her money and couldn't do nothing else for her because she ran out of money. And she had one thing on her mind. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I could get healed. And she didn't let anything stop her. She went through the crowd, grabbed his hem, got healed, just like the lady did. It didn't take no for an answer from the Lord. She got her daughter delivered. What about blind Bartimaeus? It's another one. They kept calling him, man, just shut up. Get out of here. He said, nope, Jesus. And yeah, that's what we have. I believe that's what the Lord wants us to do, is to not let anything distract us from doing what he wants us to do. I mean, we could have everybody. Oh, you're just a fanatic. Thank you, Jesus. I'm a fanatic. Well, that's just Michael, or that's just Judy, or that's just Andrew, or that's Ben, or Missy, or Barbara, or Joe, or Josie. That's just them. They're kind of fanatics on this Christianity garbage. Thank God, because those people that were fanatics got answers. And that's what God wants to put in us, I believe. And that's what it's going to take. How many of you want spiritual hunger, more spiritual hunger in your life? I do. I do. You know how to get it? Ask him
Amen.
for it. Ask him for it every day. Ask him for it every day. That's what I've been doing. I've been asking for spiritual hunger for the last week or so. And it's coming. It's already here. I get so fired up when I get to talking about the Lord. I get fired up when I hear praise and worship anymore. Yep. Praise God. I ain't nobody. Okay. Yeah, Andrew.
That's the blessing, you know. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And that blessing is from God the Father, you know. All those blessings, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So Sermon on the Mount blessings too, all the blessings.
Andrew, I'm
You
glad
know,
you brought that up. I was going through the Sermon on the Mount yesterday, and I was getting fired up going over those things again. Praise God.
and
Go ahead.
how much more righteousness can we have? If the righteous are supposed to live and by faith, then who's the living one? You know, and how much righteousness do you need? You know, the last verse in the Bible talks about the one who's unrighteous, let him be unrighteous still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be made holy still. So how much more righteousness can we have? You know, you leave my apartment here, you'll see right above the door, the righteous shall live by faith. And then in the small, well, faith that worketh love. And love never fails. You know, you need a lot of love to go through what some of these people have went through who are Christians. So that's all I'm going to say about that. Praise God. Glory to God. And that love glorified God. You know, it talks about being predestined, called, justified, glorified. That love glorified God. We know some people who glorified God in a fantastic way. Let the peace of the Christ arbitrate in your heart, where you were called. In one body, and be thankful. And when you think of those death that ruling of that Christ in your heart, you know, because if you believe in your heart, but you're letting him rule in your heart, you know, in that Colossian verse there, I think it's 3:15, I'm not sure, you know, that's. If you came out of my bedroom, that one's right on the top of the door frame there, you know, and you just read it as you're leaving, you know, in all the colorful different inks that it's written in, and it helps you, you know. There's not a room in this house where you will not see a scripture. You go to the bathroom and you're going to see Hebrews in there. It says in the, you know, if I have people going to my bathroom, they're going to see the verse on the wall. And it says, we're partakers of Christ, his health, holiness is blessing if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence firm unto the end, you know. And it's in my, I had it when I did it with my printer when it worked a long time ago. So, you know, I'm sure those guys that came into my apartment here and started changing all the plugs and all the electrical, they did some reading. Praise and glory to God, you know. And as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. I got this little wooden plaque that's above a picture over there, you know. And they might go and talk about me and report me to other people. Oh, that guy in that place over there, you know. I don't know. So praise and glory to God. I like your shirt, Ben. I remember that shirt because you were wearing that on a baptism. Praise God.
Amen.
What does your shirt say?
It says, "Don't show my shirt." What is it?
Faith as grain of a mustard seed. And it's on the mustard. It's like the mustard shirt.
Okay.
That's cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. All right, Joe, go ahead, brother.
I was about to ask Andrew, how do he keep his mind on the Lord? But now I know he's asked of all the scriptures.
Yeah, I've got them all over mine too. But I've just got a small room. I can't do it all over the house. What's this paper done on the wall here? Pasted to my wall. Okay, Barbara, go ahead.
Hi, I used to have, I need to do it again, but I used to have Bible verses written, just handwritten on little poster boards all over my house, you know, a few years back. And my mom used to walk in there and she used to say, "This is like a walk-in Bible." And I thought that was so cute. And I should do it now. I have a couple scriptures up, but I mean, how I did them before, I had handwritten, and I had them in every room. So everybody who came got to read the word.
Amen. Amen. All right. Anybody else? We got about 5 minutes left. How many of you want to come out of the desert into the promised land? Amen.
Amen.
I think we're fixing to, Joe. But it's going to be a real test. But you know, most of us have already been through this test. Go ahead, Julie. I'm sorry. I didn't see your hand till just now.
No, that's okay. I wasn't sure I was going to say it anyhow, but you know, I always confess that I am taking my promised land. You know that song, Crowder, "Promised Land," where he says, it's like the lyrics goes like, "On Jordan's stormy banks I stand," you know, and then he talks about, you know, "I'm longing for the promised land." It's like my feet are standing in the promised land. I changed the lyrics to where it is like, "I'm standing in my promised land," or "I'm taking all my promised land," or that kind of thing. It's like I'm changing the lyrics to what I believe the Lord's put in my heart to say. It's like, no, I'm taking it. I'm not just longing for it, or I'm gonna do it. I'm there. I'm taking my promised land. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just some of those things that, you know, about the promised land. And it's like when he says, "On Jordan's stormy banks I stand," it's like I stood. I'm past it. I'm gone. Confess, Jordan. I'm in the promised land. Amen.
Amen. Yep. Go ahead, Missy. Confess it.
Yeah. Well, like what Julie was saying about a song, the song, oh Jesus. How's this go again? What can wash away my sin? I like to sing. What has washed away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What has made me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I like to sing it as it's already done. Not that you can, I mean, it's, you got to believe that it's yours, but then there's the working out your own salvation with fear and trembling part, it's got to be manifested, but it's like you speak it and God does the work, you open your mouth, he's I'm reading in sanctification before blessing is oh, what's that verse about? It's in your mouth in I can't remember. It's in Deuteronomy.
Remember
The word is near you and in your mouth or whatever. you just gotta speak it, and the Lord brings it to pass.
Amen.
We gotta cooperate with him. Faith without works is dead, but so amen. Thank you, Lord. It's done.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. That ought to answer your question right there. Okay. Ooh, that hurt my eyes. Right. Well, Lord, we just thank you for placing it in our hearts to run after you with everything. With everything, that nothing would distract us from it, Lord. Because really, there's nothing more important right now than to knowing what you want from us. And that's why I like those progressive intimacies, words of knowledge and prophetic words, Lord. Because they draw you, they draw us closer to you because you're drawing us to you through those words. And I thank you for it, Father. And Lord, I just thank you for tonight. I thank you, Father. It's been a good time, good discussion. And I praise you for keeping us on that narrow road and keeping us undistracted. In Jesus' name. Go ahead, Missy.
I found it's Deuteronomy 30:14. But the word is very near unto you in your mouth and in your heart that you may do it. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. That's a good word. We just have to speak it out. How many of you do confessions every day? Confess who you are. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. I believe that's necessary as well. Amen. All
You have to
right.
do that. I'm sorry. You have to do that anyways when the devil comes after you. You have to
Yep.
shout. That's I notice that's where I find me confessing is, get out of here and then you confess the word.
Yep. I remember a battalion in World War One. That was the 91st Battalion in America. And their commander would make them, excuse me. Excuse me, goodness. His commander would lead them in saying the 91st Psalm every day. Not one man was killed in that battalion during the whole war because they did that, those that were in that particular battalion. So, Word of God works. Thank you, Lord. That's what I started doing is citing the Psalms 91 in a first person type of way. So y'all be blessed, you hear?